This is ESPN 1400, WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie Sports Leader, and this is the Laker Hockey Show. For the next hour, Laker head coach Damon Whitten joins the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, for the weekly coaches show. Got questions for Coach Whitten? Tweet them to me at cornerpocket422. Now, here's Bill and Damon on ESPN 1400.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is Bill Crawford. We don't have Damon Whitten again this week. You might remember last week we had Zach Sizek join us. Today we're actually in studio with Mike Guggen, and Matt Pocket's here. And Mike Guggen is the volunteer assistant coach with the Lakers. He's the third of their three assistant coaches. And officially, Mike, I guess the title is Hockey Operations Director, Hockey Ops, as we like to say in the business. You also do an analysis for video, you break down video, and you also work practices, and you got a pretty good background. In fact, we'll talk about that right now because our fans are not always familiar with who Mike Guggen is. Generally, you're up in the press box. We don't have any fans watching in the building anyway, so they really would not be that familiar with you. But you come from Ohio University. You're a guy out of Ishpeming, Michigan. There's a tale here somewhere. You've been around. You played hockey at Aquinas. You played hockey at Lakeland College. Let's go right through the whole gamut here and tell people who Mike Guggen is.
Yeah, it's a long story for sure. I've been really fortunate with wherever I've gone. Played at Northland College, so over in Nashville, Wisconsin. Great league, great program. I grew up in Ishpeming, Michigan, and I was really fortunate. I actually fell in love with college hockey watching Rick Comley's NMU teams as a kid. So, I just remember being 5-6 years old going to Lakeview Arena and checking out those games and seeing Coach Comley. That was really cool for me. And as a player, did Marquette Junior Hockey until it was time to go play AAA. And I had a little stint with the Green Bay Junior Gamblers. And then I actually graduated from Houghton High School, and the Ojibwe Eagles had a AAA team up there. So I've been all over the UP, and I've been really fortunate in that aspect, and it feels great to be back in the UP.
Yeah, and you went home in a manner of speaking this past Tuesday when you go to Michigan Tech. You're kind of familiar with that place too, and great hockey area up there. Houghton, Hancock, Calumet, a lot of times people over this way, they're not as familiar as they probably ought to be with the hockey over there.
Yeah, Houghton's the birthplace of professional hockey, and you know they've got the historic D Stadium down there. That place is awesome, and some of the best ice you'll find. And you look at just the tradition between Michigan Tech, and then I think across UP in general. Look at all the athletes that have come through here, all the NHLers, all the coaches as well. So really lucky to be here.
You went to Ohio University. That's where you got your master's degree, and you also worked there as one of the coaches. You were a grad assistant at Ohio U, and a lot of people won't remember this, but Ohio U, the Bobcats, had a team in the old back in before the CCHA days. The Lakers used to play against Ohio U on a regular basis. Ohio State would come in here too, and I remember those days back in the 1960s, and Ohio U had a pretty good hockey program. Then they cut it back, and now they're in the ACHA, I think, Division One.
Yeah, I worked with Sean Hogan, who's with College Hockey Inc. now. Awesome, awesome guy, great coach. Really lucky to have him as a mentor. But yeah, the tradition at Ohio University with their program is awesome. They're ACHA Division One, always consistently one of the top programs in that division, and definitely going through that coaching education program and coming here, it's been awesome.
Now, since you've been here, you're finishing up your second year right now at the Lakers, and how have you adjusted to Sault Ste. Marie, to Lake Superior State University, and the hockey program here?
The transition moving here was really easy. I think I fit right in. Being a UP native, that part's been awesome. And then, getting the opportunity to work with Coach Whitten, Coach York, Coach Sizek, I've been really lucky from that aspect, and every day is. I come to work with a smile on my face. Like, I'm really lucky the position I can be in, and just, the tradition here at Lake Superior State, and coming here and playing as a kid as well, and watching them win national championships when I was young, like, to be a part of this program, it's really special.
Yeah, it's and a lot of the time you'll spend your time, as we said, during games up in the press box. In recent weeks, you've been getting down on that bench a little bit. In the third period, though, at Bowling Green, you got down and got with the guys, and I don't think you did at Tech, but last home series against Huntsville, you got down there in the third period, too. That's got to be enjoyable, because if you want to be a coach, You want to be on that bench.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we have a really special group of young men as well. And having the opportunity to be on the bench, like it, to me, I automatically get a ton of energy when I'm down there. And you know, it's a passion of mine, much like every other coach that you know that I know and follow. And having the opportunity to be around the guys, it's what makes this game special.
Yeah, you know, at the start of the season, I remember Damon talking about how strange it was with no fans in the building, how strange it was on the bench. I think as this season has gone on, we've noticed that the guys have to provide their own energy. Both teams against Huntsville were standing a lot of the time. You're the only cheerleaders you got, you know, and if somebody scores a goal, all the support has to come from that bench, sticks whacking on the wall and yelling out to each other. That's got to add a little something, too, when you get down there and you're coaching. It's totally different than if you were to have 3,000 people in the building.
Yeah, I mean, the decibel level is different for sure. I mean, I can't tell you how much we miss our fans over at Taffy. I mean, they bring a ton of energy every night. So, I mean, like you said, we've got to provide our own energy. And I think we do a really good job of that. And with our group we have now, I think they feed off of each other. So if something positive happens, you know, I think we bring that energy. And it's been a transition for sure.
There's definitely a difference, too, in communication with that, because normally you kind of have to shout above the din of the stadium, or you've got enough people in there that the sound kind of gets absorbed. But in these open rinks, you can hear everything. I mean, sound carries a long way, so you kind of have to change up how you communicate with your team, because certainly you don't want to tip the other guys off, because they're sitting across the ice looking at your bench going, okay, yeah, right, okay. I mean, they're in your huddle too.
Yeah, I think especially early on, I think it was a huge transition for everybody. I mean, you think about just coming up as a player, as a coach, and you always have fans in a louder environment. So that transition, I think, was different at first. But I think now that we've gone through it so many times, it's certainly become a habit. And we always talk about having really strong communication between our players and our staff. So I think having you know, our own language and the way we communicate with each other, that part is going to be crucial to our success, and it has been.
That was something that Marek Mittens and us, we actually talked about that last week, but communication out there, him as a goaltender, being able to organize a defense, being able to call things out, and at the same time, again, not tip off the other team as to what you're doing, but being able to idea it and talk about it in the moment when there's a lot of stuff happening, but communication's such a big deal out there.
It really is, and he does a great job of communicating with our D. Like, there's times when I'm up at the press box as the eye in the sky, and I can hear him calling out to our D, to our forwards. He's a really special player, and his communication is outstanding for sure.
That's one thing that we don't necessarily get much of a sense of either, Bill, because we've got our headsets on. We can hear some things. If there's a big hit or when the puck hits off the end boards, we can kind of hear that coming through our headsets, but mostly it's just us, right? So stuff like that, people talking, we don't necessarily hear that as much a long way away. So that's interesting, though, especially, again, seeing it up in the press box. You've got a very different view because, again, no headset on.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times, too, it's I really try to focus on attention to detail. You know, I learned that from Coach Hogan and Coach Witten himself. And then so I think paying attention to detail. So I think I notice those little details, and, you know, you try and pick up what you can throughout the game. So I think a lot of that really helps as well.
Yeah, and you really do communicate with the bench, too. You do have an earpiece, and you're talking. Which coach are you talking to? Zach Sizek?
Yeah, Coach Sizek.
Yeah, so you're the eye in the sky. You're seeing things from up high, and you can get a different perspective than you can from down on that bench.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when you're on the bench, I mean, there's a lot of things going on. I mean, just think about the players changing and hopping over the boards. I mean, that's just one thing right in front of you. You're looking for pucks. You're looking for little things that are going on, nuances, you know, in the game. And being up in the press box, obviously, I have a different vantage point. So if there's anything that I can do to help us, whether it's between periods or maybe some notes I can take, anything that I can do, I think it's a big advantage.
What are some of those things that you've picked up on at different points, and how has that changed from how you watch the game on the bench as a coach or a player?
I think just especially being a coach, there are a lot of things I focus on, and I think structurally is the big thing. Is there something that I'm noticing from our opponent that I can see, hey, this is what I'm noticing from up top? The big thing is, you know, if we get a goal scored on us, you know, is it offsides? Is there too many men on the ice? Matter of fact, our last tech series, the goal that was reversed, that was offsides, I radioed down. I'm like, hey, that's offsides. And Coach Sizek did a great job as well. I think he noticed it as well, and Coach Witten and the guys got it done. So those little things as well are really huge.
All right, you're listening to the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. We've got Mike Guggen with us today, the third of the Lakers' three assistant coaches. In the second half of our show, it's going to be Chase Gamlin, the senior from Sault Ste. Marie, will be joining us, and we'll talk to Chase about his experiences this season and as a Laker player. And, Mike, let's talk just for a second here. That was a tough game yesterday. We go into Michigan Tech. We had not lost a game on the road all season, and we had beaten them 3 out of 4, if you count the shootout as a victory. You could call it a tie, I guess, but the last two games we'd beaten them, including last Tuesday in their building. And they played very well, I thought. They had a real sense of urgency going into that one yesterday, and they win it 4-1. What's your assessment, and how did the other coaches look at that game?
Yeah, I mean, you got to give Michigan Tech a lot of credit. I think they were really hungry for a win, and they needed one. And, you got to give their staff and their players a ton of credit. They came out, and they played really hard. They had their chances, and I felt like we had our chances as well. But, it's one of those things where, it's really hard to go into another team's building and just win hockey games, especially with the COVID era and everything's going on. It's much, much different. And then when you're on the road, it's never easy. So you've got to take into account, them being hungry, and, they did a great job for sure. They took care of their chances when they did, and we paid for it.
Well, yeah. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, I think when you look at this Laker hockey team, right, back into the rankings now at 18, and right. They were in there for a while but got knocked out when they played Minnesota State. I thought really more than anything, and listen, I know this is how rankings work, right? I get it. I've seen it all a million times, right? Oh, they lost. I guess that means we got to knock them down a peg. I thought more than anything that series with Minnesota State confirmed that this Laker team is one of the best 20 teams in the country. I thought they deserved to be in that spot. Now they've worked their way back in, and amid, just a wild schedule stretch here. You go on the road, you beat Bowling Green twice, beat Michigan Tech, beat Huntsville at home twice. This is one of the better teams in college hockey, and a loss yesterday I don't think does anything to change that. I think if anything, again, this team has proven that it's a top 20 team.
Yeah, we talk all the time, like, it's hard to win hockey games at this level. Every team is good. So our success right now, I mean, you give our players credit, you give our staff credit, but it's really hard to win hockey games. We have a ton of ranked teams that we play, and like you mentioned, Minnesota State. Like, I felt we were in those hockey games, despite the score. We kept battling back, and the one thing that I really love about our team is our resiliency. We could be down a goal, we could be down two goals. We don't stop playing until the clock hits zero. And I even at Taffy, you guys were there. You've seen it. How many times have we come back? And it's a grind, and it's really hard to win hockey games. So sometimes it's just you're not going to get the bounces. It's not going to go your way, but. I like your team.
Well, I thought yesterday's game too, Mike, a good example of the first 8 minutes perhaps of that second period. Lakers dominated play, came out, took the game away from them, outshot them by, I don't know, an 8-2 margin, and tied the game on a really nice play. I thought Jack Jeffers made a great play to set up Pete Violette to score the goal. It's 1-1. It's anybody's hockey game. And then Brian Hallinan out-muscles us around our net. Probably got away with a little goaltender interference there, but he bangs in a dirty, greasy goal. And then it's Tech after that, and they win it 4-1.
Those are the kind of things that can really take the wind out of your sails. I liked our start yesterday, and we talk a lot about having really good starts and having fast starts, and the first goal is so important in any hockey game, in my opinion. And they got the first goal, so we had to find a way to battle back, find that resiliency, and we couldn't get the job done.
Now we've got to go to Ferris State, this weekend, and then we've got a couple games in the middle of the week next week with Bemidji. The COVID-19 thing, the pandemic, has really thrown a curve at all of college hockey, and I know Tech went through it. They'd probably say to us, hey, we already did all this. They played 5 games in 8 days a couple of weeks ago, all on the road, and they won all 5 of them. And then they lost to us and then lost 2 to Bemidji, and kind of the wheels fell off for a week there, and then they come back yesterday with that great effort. So now it's our turn. We've got to do all these tough things, and going to Ferris this Friday won't be easy. Tough building to play in. We'll detail that in a moment, but then Bemidji next week, and we don't need to tell people how tough that can be, just the trip itself.
Yeah, being on the road, for sure. Anytime you're leaving the comforts of your own home, your own facility, it's a challenge for sure. But if I'm not mistaken, I believe this past week at Tech was our first road loss of the year.
And it was.
Like, our team finds ways to win games. And I think, especially the leadership group that we have in that locker room right now, they're going to be excited to play. Like, I think they've got a bad taste in their mouth, and they want to come hard, but it's going to be a challenge for sure. Like, Fair State's a good hockey team any way you slice it, and I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit later. But anytime you have to go on the road, it's going to be hard to get points.
It's one of the interesting things, too, about this location right in the UP. Ferris is one of the easier trips on the schedule, and yet it's still almost a four-hour drive. I mean, that's not a short hop, but when you look at some of the other teams, Bowling Green's, what, 7 or 8 hours away. You've got Tech up in Houghton, that's 5 hours away. I mean, these are all long road trips for this team. 4 hours doesn't seem so bad, especially when, 4 hours to Bemidji, okay, we're not halfway yet. We're still in the UP.
No, for sure. And, the big thing we need to take into account is the weather as well. I mean, that can definitely be a grind. If you run into tough weather, I mean, it could really slow you down. I think we've been really fortunate so far this year. We haven't really driven through like a snowstorm or anything crazy, but you're absolutely right.
We're going to take a break here in our show tonight. You're listening to the Laker Hockey Show, and we'll be right back with more with Mike Guggen on ESPN 1400. If you're looking to improve your ride or add a vehicle this winter, see the great pre-owned inventory at Sioux Motors today. There are more than 70 units to choose from: cars, trucks, SUVs, and crossovers. There are Escapes, Explorers, Fusions, Focuses, and many more, including trucks. See the friendly sales staff at Sioux Motors today. Use your stimulus check or your tax refund to put yourself in a better vehicle this winter. Check out the selection of pre-owned reconditioned vehicles at Sioux Motors on 3 Mile across from Walmart in the Michigan Sioux.
Is your furnace old? You could be dealing with a low-efficiency furnace costing you hundreds of dollars a year. The experts at Albert Heating and Cooling can help you with a new high-efficiency Bryant furnace. On sale now till the end of February. With your new furnace, you can buy an extended 10-year labor warranty for only $99. Start saving today with a new furnace and sleep soundly knowing you have no worries. Go online at albertheating.com or stop in at 3147 South M129, just south of 3 Mile Road today. Bryant. Whatever it takes.
Well, winter is here, and so is the Mahindra Red Tag Sale. Get great deals on all Mahindra tractors, including 0% interest on select models, or save thousands. Because not even winter can slow down Mahindra, the official tractor of Tough.
Visit Gaylor Thompson Sales and Service, your local Mahindra dealer. You'll find them just off exit 373 in Rudyard, Michigan, or head online at GaylorThompsonSales.com.
On select models now through February 28th, go to whymahindra.com for more information.
Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation. But did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success. You're listening to the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Tweet your questions for Laker head coach Damon Whitten to me at cornerpocket422. Here's Bill Crawford.
Alrighty, we're back for our second segment of our Laker Hockey Show on a Wednesday night. Again, this is our second straight Wednesday, and don't forget this show is rebroadcast at 8 a.m. right here on ESPN 1400. And it's Bill Crawford along with Matt Pocket, and we're talking with Mike Guggen tonight, the third of the Lakers' three assistant coaches. And, Mike, we talked about video and about being upstairs during games and being the eye in the sky and communication with Zach Cizik. How much work is there? Like, you run downstairs every period, at the end of the period, to chat with the coaches about the video, I would think. And is there a lot of use of the video as a teaching tool that goes on during a game, or is that mostly what we use as a teaching tool not in a game?
There's a lot of different uses for it. Post-game, there's a ton of teaching material that we can use. And in-game, there's a lot of stuff we can do with it, too. I mean, if we want to show one of our players an example, maybe they did something good, maybe they did something bad. It's always a teaching tool. Anytime that you can physically show somebody what they're doing right or wrong, I think that's a huge advantage. And so it is a little bit. I think we're really fortunate with between our leadership group that we have in the locker room. Like, they're smart players. They know what's going on. And then obviously as a staff, you know, they've been around the game their entire lives. So I think a lot of it is instinct. Some of it's video. But certainly it's a tool that we do take advantage of.
Yeah, is there an opportunity for you to quickly replay something if there were a question about something on the ice? Like, for instance, the other day we questioned that goal that Hallinen scored. Would you be a guy who would say, hey, we got to question this. I think there was goaltender interference. Would you be the guy who would do that? Or does that come off the bench?
If I see something, I can radio down. So, for example, in my opinion, I thought it was goaltender interference initially. Obviously, we didn't get that call, but I'll radio down and use it. But post-game, it's just something that we can look at. Once the call is made, the call is made on the ice. But it's something that we can definitely learn from, you know, for whether it's where we – how are we taking care of our goalie? What are we doing around the net? So it's situations. It's just a learning opportunity for sure.
Yeah, I thought in that game yesterday that Tech, one of the things they did that was a little bit different than a week ago Tuesday, they really forechecked hard. They went in deep. They sent two men in, and they went after our D and tried to force us to make quick decisions and move the puck in a hurry. I thought that worked quite a bit for them because we turned over some pucks, especially in the third period of that game. How do you work on that now as a coaching staff? You look at that, you discuss it, you'd notice that that's going on. How do we teach something here where we can overcome that? Because Ferris State's going to see that, and they're going to try to do the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we want to reinvent the wheel by any stretch of the imagination. I think there's it's more habit, I think, for us.
Right.
You know, are we moving our feet? Are we not moving our feet? Little things. So, you know, there's no such thing as a secret in today's game with video. I mean, I think we can all agree on that. So just like they're watching us, we're watching them as well. So I think a lot of the stuff is just habits and things like that.
So when you're looking at video, right, is it you looking for a bunch of different things, or do you kind of have instructions from the other coaches like, hey, this is what we're looking for, this is what you should be kind of IDing? How exactly does that process work when you're breaking down video?
Yeah, our staff does, in my opinion, does a great job with communication. I think everybody kind of takes their own period, breaks it down, finds things that maybe they saw, maybe they didn't saw, and you know, we can come together and talk about that. Lucky for us, you know, like I've mentioned a ton of times, Coach Witten does a great job with communication and what he expects and playing at that high level. So we know already what we want to ID. It's just a matter of digging through, maybe finding a good teaching clip, maybe finding a clip where, you know, we can improve on. But everybody kind of has a hand in it for sure.
You know, it's difficult, too. We've talked about the power play and the fact that it's not doing very well this year. I think it's clicking overall at in the league at 11% overall at about 8% right now, and those are not good figures. We went 0-for-4 yesterday. If we'd have scored a couple power play goals, that would have been, you know, a tight hockey game, might have been 4-3 at the very worst. We really struggle to set up in the offensive zone, and I know you guys work on it all the time. I'm not telling you something you don't know here, but it is frustrating, and I think it's probably frustrating for our players too, because we've got enough good hockey players. On the power play, somebody's got to be open, and we're just not finding that guy and holding that puck in the zone and setting up that power play. What can we do with all this sort of thing?
I think yesterday, like our first goal, if it was another 2 or 3 seconds, I think it would have been a power play goal. There was a stretch here where we just weren't getting any power plays for sure. And, you know, I think the opportunities are there. Like, when I go through our grade A scoring chances, like, we have chances on our power play for sure. So I think the big thing is we talk about communications and habits. And I think if we start taking advantage of that, we're going to see a lot of success. Like, our chances are there, and we're finding ways to get set. I don't think it's a matter of, you know, pulling the fire alarm and running for the, you know, I think that we're going to be successful with it. And we always talk about peaking at the right time. I think our power play is going to peak at the right time.
Well, let's hope so, because we're coming down to the last four games of this regular season right now. We need some points. We got to move up. We've got 17. That's in a good position right now, but there are other teams here who are right behind us and a few teams that are barely ahead of us in the standings. And we play at Ferris State this weekend. Now, you know that building. That can be a tough place to play. I think the guys who've been there before are going to be invaluable here. Our senior leadership is going to be invaluable because it's a tough place to go into. I mean, everything funnels to the back of the net in that place. They do not have wide corners. It's got a low ceiling. It's almost like the kind of building you'd play peewee hockey or something in, but you got to go in there and do a job. And everybody has trouble in there. Minnesota State Mankato took them overtime 2 weeks ago to beat Ferris State in that building.
Yeah, it's a team that plays hard for sure. And, you know, I think it's a smaller ice sheet, personally. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, like you mentioned, we've got our leadership group. I mean, what can you say about them? You got Will Rydell, Lucas Kybel, our captain, Merrick Mittens. Like, our senior leadership, I think, is really elite. And we had success in that building last year. We swept them last year. Mm-hmm. But they do play. They play very hard. I mean, Coach Daniels has been there for a long time and seen a ton of success. So their staff does a good job. I think if you ask them, I don't think maybe they've had the success that they might want. But they're right there, so it's going to be a test for us for sure.
Yeah, it's pretty difficult, too. You lose a game at Michigan Tech, and you don't want to push any panic buttons. We'd won 5 in a row, 6 of the last 7. And I saw today in the power rankings in the WCHA, we're number 2. We're right behind Minnesota State Mankato. So this has been a great season for these young guys, and they've done a really good job. But, hey, we don't want to lose any games. We want to win every game. The fans want to win every game. We want to go undefeated. So, you know, you kind of push the panic button when you get beat 4-1 at Tech. But, you know, there's been a lot of travel, and we're going to turn around. I'm imagining right now, you tell us if we're wrong on it, but I would think right now we're probably maybe light skating this week at Able to get ready, but maybe not even going on the ice. We're just resting guys right now.
Yeah, rest is really huge for us. I think nutrition, sleep, all of that is going to play, a huge role down the road, especially going into playoffs.
Yeah, it's so interesting too, Mike, because you look at years ago, and this has become a point of emphasis now across all sports, especially at the professional levels. But like you said, nutrition, it's not just, you know, hit the weight room, make sure you're in great shape. After the game, go pound a couple of beers, have a great night on the town, right? Things have changed, and the commitment to that professionalism, even for younger athletes, it has to be around the clock, every day, every week, commitment that you have to make. The sleep schedule, eating right, all these things are such important parts of it.
Yeah, and our staff has done an awesome job. Our athletic trainer, Pat Sarney, he's unbelievable. I think he's one of the best in the business. Our strength and conditioning coach, Taylor Brown, phenomenal.
Yep. Yep.
Those guys have done an amazing job this year, keeping these guys fresh, ready to go, healthy. And they've really done a ton of work, especially the past 2-3 weeks with all the extra travel, all the extra games, the bumps, the bruises. Though I think those are the guys that have really played a huge part that might not, you know, get a ton of credit, but they do a fantastic job.
And this all kind of comes back to player development in the end, too, right? I mean, I've looked at the progression of guys in this program over the last several years under this coaching staff. Look at a guy like Merrick Mittens, who has turned into a monster, right? 2 top-tier defensemen in Lucas Kybel and Will Rydell. You look at the progression of a lot of these guys, and you mentioned Taylor a minute ago, right, in the strength and conditioning work. Look at the transformation, too, of Ashton Calder, who was always a good athlete, and he's turned into an elite college hockey player. He's a brilliant player, but he's put that work in, that commitment in the offseason, and that 24/7 process.
Absolutely. Like, what do you say about a guy like Ashton Calder? Like, he, every summer, he just works his tail off. He gets bigger. He gets stronger, faster. He's so fun to watch. And, I mean, he's a huge part of our hockey team as well. But, I mean, everything that we're doing top to bottom, I mean, Coach Sizek does a phenomenal job with the goaltending. He was a goalie himself at Michigan State. He does a fantastic job. For me, as a young coach who continues to develop and grow, like, you know, I get to be around him and Coach York and Coach Witten. Like, the skill sessions are outstanding. Like, just picking up those little things, and the players love them. I mean, you can't teach, a player how to want to do that stuff. And, you know, credit to our guys, they want to do that kind of stuff.
You know, I think this team, too, is a little bit deeper even than the team 2 years ago. And we had Diego Cuglietta and company. They were seniors, and that was a great team. We won at the GLI. We had a good finish to the season. Beat Bemidji in a playoff series. Gave Minnesota State a scare. Lost 2 tough games to them in Mankato, Minnesota. That was one of the best hockey teams we've had in the last 10 years, if not more. This team might be even better because they're a little bit deeper. You look at the third and fourth lines of this team. you can feel pretty confident throwing them out there, especially Manz's line with Percelli out there. I mean, they're, and Benny Post has added something to the line where our second guest tonight, Chase Gamlin, plays with Alex Ambrosio. That's not a bad fourth line right there.
No, those guys are awesome, and they add a huge element to our game. Like, they hit, they go after pucks, they hound defensemen. They do a fantastic job. Chase plays, I love the way he plays. He gets to the net, he finishes his hits. Those are the things that you can count on. Like, as a staff, we know what he's going to do for us, and that's a huge advantage for us because he's so consistent with what he does, and that's awesome.
You know, we haven't talked about it yet, but we had two players of the week this past week. Hampus Erickson was forward of the week, and Jacob Nordquist was defenseman of the week. Those are two big recognition pieces right there. Hampus had a great series against Alabama Huntsville, and he's been a key in the second half. He's played very, very well, and Jacob Nordquist was really good against Huntsville, too. And Jacob plays well at Ferris State. I'm thinking of Gamlin, too. He scored a goal last year down at Ferris State. We do have some players on our team who don't mind playing in that building.
Yeah, I mean, and Nordy, he's an awesome skater. Like, his ability to be able to move the puck, have vision, he's so much fun to watch. I mean, you talk about Hampus Erickson. I think he's been fantastic off of draws, and he's really been able to find ways to produce with Miro and Yuki on that line as well. We really like that line, and we're excited. When those lines are clicking, and like you'd mentioned it, you know, we can put whoever we want on the ice, and you know, we feel confident as a staff and as a team to play good hockey.
Yeah, we're going to take a break here, our second one of the night, and we'll be back. Mike, we'll talk to Matt and I a little bit more here. We'll move Chase Gamlin in the last part of the show tonight. You're listening to the Laker Hockey Show on a Wednesday on ESPN 1400.
When it comes to you and your family's health, you want the best care possible. Arfstrom Pharmacy, your locally owned HealthMart pharmacy, is here to help. The caring and knowledgeable staff takes the time to get to know their customers, understand their needs, and help them on a path to better health. From prescription drugs to medical equipment and supplies, they are able to meet your needs. Arfstrom Pharmacy offers a prescription savings club plan. Save on over 300 prescription medications, some as little as $4 for a 30-day supply or $10 for a 90-day supply. Club members will also enjoy big savings on other generic brand drugs, too. With so many drugs covered by this plan, you could be paying a lot less for your prescription medications in the months ahead. Also, free delivery of prescription drugs within the city limits and a prescription drug pickup service at the War Memorial Community Care Clinic, Kinchlo. Call us for details at 632-9661. Arfstrom Pharmacy and Arfstrom Medical Equipment and Supplies. A lifetime of service in the Eastern UP at the corner of Ashman and Spruce Street in the heart of downtown Sioux, Michigan. Health Mart. Caring for you and about you.
It's 2021 and Reed Metals in Dafter, your honest, main source, one-stop metal recycling business serving Northern Michigan, hopes everyone has a prosperous year. If you need a few extra dollars to help with your heating bills or that trip you may want to take to the warm state of Hawaii, bring Reed Metals your unwanted scrap metals and they'll print you a check. Reed Metals is paying top dollar for whole scrap vehicles. They also buy heavy equipment, catalytic converters, radiators, batteries, rims, and motors. Reed Metals will give you an honest price without surprise fees or deductions at the scale. Bring in copper, brass, lead, tin, cast, aluminum, steel, and many more types of recyclable metals, and they'll print you a check with your name on it. Reed Metals is your honest, one-stop metal recycling business. They also offer roll-off dumpster service. Reed Metals is open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Visit reedmetals.com or call 906-632-0018. Bring it in or have it hauled, and Reed Metals will print you a check with your name on it. Reed Metals, 10 miles south of the on Mackinac Trail. It's the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Got questions for the coach? Tweet them at me at cornerpocket422. Here's Bill Crawford and Damon Witten.
All right, no Damon Witten tonight. We've got Mike Guggen, the third of the Lakers' three assistant coaches, in with us. Mike's never been on the show before, so we appreciate him coming in tonight and giving us a chance to pick his brain a little bit about what he does. We were just talking off mic about the technology and the many changes that we've had over the last, I don't know, 20 years, 10 years. It changes so fast, 2 years. Things have changed dramatically. I can remember back in the 1980s, Frank Anzalone using video, and he did things the old-fashioned way with a TV set and a tape recorder and all this sort of thing, and it was just rudimentary, but he made it work like that. It's much easier now, but the technology changes so rapidly, And it's a big part of the coaching as a teaching tool.
Yeah, and like we mentioned off air, I mean, even the technology over the past 5 years, I think I've had a hand in some kind of video or, you know, anything that we can do to get an upper hand. Or just thinking about how good the cameras have gotten, how fast the internet speeds, I mean, everything, like the software that we use for the clips. I mean, everything has gotten so detailed and so awesome. Like, I mean, it's crazy.
What is the process that you go through when you're breaking down film? So when the game is over, obviously you're sitting there, you're watching it, you're live capturing it, but what happens next for you in the lead up to, say, a game tomorrow or even next week?
Yeah, so I think post game is going to be way different than going into week looking at our next opponent. Post game, I'll look at things like, you know, how many grade A's did we get? What were our scoring chances like? Hits, things like that. And I can clip them into different files and folders, whether or not I want to pull up a player's shifts. I have those ready to go. So if a player wants to come in and watch, you know, what did he do right? What did he do wrong? Things like that. I'll have those to go, ready to go. Looking towards the week, like I'll look for Coach Sizek and I do a ton of this. So does Coach York, Coach Witten as well. But Coach Sizek and I, we do a ton of, you know, the last 4 to 6 games and, you know, break everything down by period. What are some strengths, some weaknesses, maybe some areas we can take advantage of, areas that they do really, really well in as well, because we want to make sure that we're giving our players every tool as possible to go out there and win a hockey game.
You know, one of the things they mentioned on the telecast, and while we're on technology too, just the you mentioned cameras a moment ago, just the work that Flow TV is doing now, and I don't like to talk about competitors here necessarily, but it's been outstanding because fans can't go to games right now, and so they can see those games and the cameras. Everybody's got 3-4 cameras in their building now, and they're high technology, and it works really well. I mean, it's been outstanding.
It certainly has, and you know, I hear you know, stories of people out in the community getting together and having Laker, you know, watch parties. That's so awesome. You know, that's what makes, you know, this area really, really special. And you know, the fact that they can at least see the game and have an idea what's going on, I think it's really cool for us. I think there's been a lot of really positive buzz around town as well, and that's because, you know, people are able to at least see the games, and I think that's really important for us as a university and as a program.
Yeah, back to talking about players, too. Here's one for you. Have you ever been around a team before that's had as many international players on it as this one? And what kind of – I mean, I think it's a great experience. I think the players love it, and I think – most of these young guys that we've got, they all speak pretty good English. They understand what's going on. And it's a really unique experience for our players. We've got Canadians, Americans, Swedes, and then that list that I give every hockey game. We've got 10 different international players on this team.
Yeah, at least for me, this is certainly the most, you know, international players, especially from different countries that that I've been a part of. But, I mean, you look at our locker room culture, it's, I mean, you take players from all over the world, you bring them into one room and have the same message and same communication. I mean, it's not always an easy thing to do, but I mean, the guys that we get are really special young men. I mean, they're outstanding in my opinion, and I think that speaks volumes.
I think one of the big things that they all have in common is kind of similar personality traits, right? I mean, these guys are pretty even-keeled. There's not it doesn't strike me that there's a whole lot of wild characters in this bunch of guys. And, you know, that's a credit, too, when you're recruiting, right? You're not just recruiting a skill set. You're recruiting a person, a whole person, and everything that comes with that. So I think it's not just about, well, you know, we need to go get a right-handed shot. You know, never mind that, you know, the guy goes and does, you know, whatever. You've got to find the complete package in order to piece that room together. And I think this has been a great job by this staff.
Yeah. I mean, and you can't teach a player to want to do things or, you know, how does he interact with others? How is he going to be off camp? How is he going to be in class? Is he going to go to class? Things like that. Like, so you, very much.
That's
so
not always a given, is it?
No. I mean, so very much so you have to recruit the human being. You know, one of my mentors, Mike Skijinski, used to tell me, hey, you need to recruit. We're in the human business at the end of the day, so finding good humans to be in that locker room is key, and we've got a really special group.
Yeah, I think that's one thing we talk about a lot. They're good guys, and our fans can feel very confident they're cheering for a bunch of good guys who can play the game. And it's been a fun season to this point, even though it's been trying with all this COVID stuff and all these pauses and changes and all that sort of thing. It's been a test, and it's going to still be a test with that series next week at Bemidji. But these are good kids. They'll be ready to play.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've mentioned it before, and we've already said it here on the show, but our leadership group, our senior leadership, is awesome. And, I mean, I think of a guy like Will Rydell just off the top of my head. I mean, I could pick out a million more, but you know, he's just such a good human being, and he's a great leader, and works really, really hard. So.
Never misses a game.
No. Good, great game-winning goal last week against Huntsville as well. So
yeah,
shout out to Will.
Well, that's another thing about this season too, Mike. We've seen some spectacular endings to games. Even the game that we lost in overtime to Northern Michigan, it was still a spectacular ending to score two goals in a minute and 1 second to tie it and send it to overtime.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it's really hard for a team. First off, good teams find ways to win, and I firmly believe that. But, like, our guys, they play hard until you can't play hard anymore. And I think they do a great job of managing emotion. Let's not let the highs get too high or the lows get too low. And I think that's really worked out well for us this year.
Well, I think they were playing hard yesterday. They were down 4-1 in the last minute of play, pulled the goaltender, Merrick Smittens, had a power play chance, had a two-man advantage. I didn't think anybody just let up. We were trying to score a goal.
Yeah, you know, and you never know. I mean, if we pop one on that power play early, I mean, against Northern a couple weeks ago, we scored 2-6 on five goals within a minute, I think. So anything is possible with this team. I don't think our guys feel we're never out of any game. Despite the score, I think that's what makes the guys, you know, our special group.
All right, we're going to take our last break here. We're going to get Chase Gamblin to join us on the phone. We'll talk to Chase, the Lakers senior, the Sioux native, in a moment. Mike Guggen, thanks for being part of our show tonight. Thanks for joining us. I hope you had a good time with it. We'll do it again.
Absolutely. I hope so. Thanks for having me.
All right, Mike Guggen in with us, the assistant coach of the Lakers, and we'll take a break. We'll be right back with Chase Gamblin on ESPN. 1400.
When you're looking to score a great pizza, make your play with your favorite hometown team at Guido's. Well known for their pizza, someone once said,
"You can't live on just pizza."
Something they may not agree with at Guido's. You'll also love their pasta, salads, breads, and of course, their Guidotizers. Make a power play and order online at guidospizzasue.com. And while you're there, look for their college student special coupon and save 15% on one regularly priced menu item. Guido's Pizza, 2673 Ashman. Call 906-635-00.
Before the game tonight, do you think Coach Damon told his players, "All I ask is that you give 25% tonight"? Of course not. Everybody knows that 100% is what you have to give. So while every bar and restaurant in Michigan is at only 25% capacity due to COVID restrictions, Sioux Brewing Company puts 100% effort into every beer we brew every day. Come on by before the next Laker game and enjoy a Laker Gold. Sioux Brewing Company, it's the only way to be.
Fremont Insurance has proudly served Michigan since 1876. For more than 140 years, Fremont Insurance has helped protect what Michigan residents care about most. Since 1999, Don Wilson Insurance and Fremont have been partners, rooted in the promise to provide the best possible service and value to customers, be it your home, auto, or business. Don Wilson Insurance and Fremont Insurance, there to protect what matters most. Don Wilson Insurance, 110 Dawson, in the Sioux, call 635-5600.
Buffalo Wild Wings wants to help you get through the work week. And Tuesdays and Thursdays might just be the worst days. That's why they've created Wing Tuesdays and Boneless Thursdays with a buy one, get one free offer. Let's crush this week together with Wing Tuesdays and Boneless Thursdays at the Sault Ste. Marie Buffalo Wild Wings.
You're listening to the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Tweet your questions for Laker head coach Damon Whitten to me at cornerpocket422. Here's Bill Crawford.
Okay, final segment of the Laker Hockey Show on a Wednesday evening. A snowy day in Sault Ste. Marie today. We've got Chase Gamblin moving in with us now. First time we've had him on this season, the senior Sault Ste. Marie native. We always like to talk about that. And Chase, you've played every game so far this season, all 20 of them for the Lakers. That means you're doing a good job. The coaches like what you're up to. And it's been a fun season to this point. Some tremendous come-from-behind efforts, especially in the second half. We've moved up to number two in the power rankings in the WCHA and got four big games remaining in the regular season.
Yeah, and Chase, too, I feel like you guys have been well-prepared in some ways for all this with the resiliency that you've shown during games, right? This is a team that's fallen behind a few times and just seems like it just seems like you're down by a goal or two in the third and it's like, okay, no big deal. They're going to find a way to score again. They're going to find a way to tie this game up. It just feels like that because you've done it so many times now.
Yeah, for sure. The guy in the locker room, you know, we talk about it after periods, you know, just staying calm and cool and sticking to the game plan. And our leaders and senior group have been doing a great job of, you know, keeping the guys on track and just sticking to our game plan and playing a full 60 minutes. And I think that helps on a lot for sure.
Now, Chase, you're one of those seniors. How vocal do you get in that dressing room? And, you know, you're one of four senior forwards that we've got. You and Yuki and Hampus and Alex Ambrosio are going to be leaving at the end of this season. How much do you guys have, do you work with all the other guys to keep things going strong?
You know, we say a lot in the locker room. You know, not too much. You know, we're all college hockey players, so, you know, we all know what we got to do. But sometimes, you know, it's just a little more reinforcing and kind of keeping us on the track that we want to stay on. I mean, we don't need to be telling guys how to play and what to do exactly. But, you know, like I said, we're all – you know, Division I hockey players, so we know what we got to do. So it's definitely pretty easy going for us. It makes our job a lot easier because we got a great group of guys in the locker room.
Now, that fourth unit you've been playing with, you've had Alex with you pretty much all season. You've kind of changed up the other winger. Right now it's Benny Posa playing a little bit more. Josh Wildauer was there earlier in the season. But you guys have done a good job. You've been a good, pesky checking line, and I know that's your kind of game. You like to hit. You like to forecheck and get in deep and finish checks. It's been a good year for you guys.
Yeah, I think so. We just try to get out there and give the guys some energy and, you know, just give it all we got. Don't give up much defensively. And when we can chip in offensively, it really helps the team out. But, yeah, me and Ambro and Poza and Josh, you know, we gelled pretty good, and it's nice staying with, you know, the same guys so you can get some chemistry going, and hopefully we can keep that up.
Yeah, and Benny's a guy who's come on really strong here in the last couple of weeks, and a guy who really didn't get a whole lot of opportunities in the lineup, and then when he finally did get that opportunity, man, has he really grabbed it and run with it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, you got to be ready. We talk about it all the time. You got to be ready when your number's called. And if you get fortunate enough to wear the Laker uniform that night, you got to just give it all you got and make the most of it. And that's why he's been continuously in the lineup for sure.
Speaking of wearing that Laker uniform, you are a Sioux Michigan guy. You and Bill were talking here just a few minutes ago. I mean, you guys have known each other forever, but what does that mean to you to be able to wear this uniform?
You know, it means so much. I think I've said it before, but it's, you know, I went to Laker games as a kid, you know, and just seeing those guys on the ice. And I think every kid wants to wear that uniform. And even growing up, you know, you're wearing, like, playing Squirts, Pee-wee's, Bantams, you got, you know, you're the junior Lakers. So that's kind of what everybody strives to be for. And, you know, it's just the best 4 years of my life, hands down, for sure.
You know, you played high school hockey here in the Sioux. Johnny Ferroni was your coach there. You went on and played, I think you played a season or at least part of a season for the Eagles, too, before you went to Brookings and played in the North American Hockey League. But you were pretty much committed to Lake Superior State right out of high school, if I remember right, and then went away to try to refine some skills to come back and be helpful. And it's worked pretty well for you.
Yeah, exactly. I went and played Sioux High for Coach Ferroni, and he does a great job developing his players, and I played a full season on the Eagles there, and then they went out to New Jersey, I believe, and kind of made their team out there, and I kind of wanted something different, so I went and went out to Brookings and went out to Brookings for 2 years, and that was a great fit and helped me, you know, hone my skills in and prepare me for these 4 years.
You know, one of the interesting things you could do, too, you're a senior now and you're a guy who's been in and out of the lineup a lot. You didn't play a lot your first couple of years. You got in there, but not 20 games through 20-game season. Can you give us a little bit of insight on how you might deal with a guy like Spencer Denbesty or a Tyler Williams or even Josh Wildauer at this point? Like, do you talk to them to say, hey, your time's coming. We got four seniors on this team. We're going to be out of here at the end of this year, and you guys are going to see lots of ice time before your Laker career is done.
Yeah, exactly. You just tell the guys, you know, stick with it and trust the process. Keep working hard in practice, work hard in the gym, and, you know, that goes noticed. So, you know, coming from me, you know, I never wasn't in all the time, like you said, and just you got to just stay with it. And like I said earlier, when you get your number called, you just got to make the most of it.
Now, we're going to go play at Ferris State this Friday night, right back on the bus again, but it's a fairly short trip, and you seniors certainly know that building. It can be a tough place to play, but it's a kind of place Chase Gamblin kind of likes, I think. It's a smaller ice surface. I remember you scored a big goal there a couple years ago. I would think you're looking forward to this weekend.
Yeah, exactly. They got a small sheet. It's kind of more my style of hockey, kind of rough and rowdy for sure, and that's where I got my first goal, so I'm definitely pumped to go back there and see if I can't get another one.
You played with a couple of big guys last year, too, a lot. Brendan McKay and Brian Basilico, too. And that was a rough and rowdy line with all three of you guys out there. I thought you guys were massive last season, too, just causing all kinds of chaos in the offensive zone, winning pucks and forechecking really well. I got the feeling that other teams really didn't like playing against you three very much.
Yeah, probably not. We had definitely a couple big bodies coming into the corner, and I definitely wouldn't want to get hit by Basilico or McKay, that's for sure.
Yeah, they were big dudes.
Yeah.
Now, how about goals for yourself, Chase? You got any short-term goals? Are you going to try to play hockey beyond college hockey? I know you're a business administration major, and your dad's got a pretty good business going here in the Sioux. I know you work there off-season, so what's your plans for the future?
Yeah, for sure. I'd like to continue hockey. You know, I've known hockey basically my whole life, and would love to make some money at it. And I don't know if I'm ready to give the game up. And for sure, it'd be tough to walk away from the game. That's for sure.
You know, one thing I've always thought about with you too. Do you have any kind of coaching aspirations? I would think you'd be a good coach somewhere down the line.
Yeah, you know, I haven't really thought about it much, but I think I'd like to get into coaching. You know, like maybe peewees or bantams, you know, to start off, get my feet wet, you know, and see where that takes me. I think I could, you know, bring some good aspects and teach some kids some good things.
Now, we always talk to the guys when we have them on here. We had Will Rydell and Mitch Oliver and Merrick Smittens have all joined us on recent shows, and we talk about this international team, that flavor in the locker room. We just talked to Mike Guggen a few seconds ago about it, and how well this team gets along. It's a great bunch of guys who work hard on the ice, but it's a great team off the ice. And I would think there's some tremendous relationships that have been made here that'll be really tough to leave behind.
Yeah, no doubt about it. These are this group of guys, especially, you know, our class is we're very tight, and you know, we're just all great friends. Some of the times you get like kind of groups of guys, you know, throughout the team, but now with us, we got just one big family, and it's great.
Yeah, we talked with Mike, too, about the professional aspect of things now. College hockey's not the way it used to be 20, 30 years ago. Most of the guys are pretty cognizant of rest and getting good sleep and eating right. Nutrition's a big part of it, what you drink, that sort of thing. And with this COVID, with this pandemic and missing games, et cetera, I would think that's really crucial.
Yeah, especially now with playing, you know, 10 games in 22 days where we only get, you know, home for a day and then we're back on the road. So, like you said, rest is very important for us, especially this time of year. So we're able to, you know, give 110% out on the ice when it counts in the games.
Yeah, I thought that game yesterday at Tech was a great example of a team that had to win a game as opposed to a team that had won five in a row and was kind of on a roll. Tech really, really played hard in that game, and that's kind of what we're going to have to do this Friday night, and I know you seniors will be preaching that as we sit in that locker room prior to game time on Friday night at Ferris State.
Yeah, for sure. Every game and every point matters from here on out, and nobody at this point can take any games off, and Tech was really desperate, and give credit to them. They played really hard.
Well, Chase, we really appreciate you taking some time here tonight. I know you got a test you got to get to here. You got to take care of in a few minutes, so we're going to let you get out of here. But, hey, good luck this weekend, the rest of the way. Enjoy talking to you, and get a win this Friday night.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right. Chase Gamblin joining us here on the Laker Hockey Show tonight. And Matt, we got any final words before we wrap it up here? I guess, what are we going to do for Friday night? We're going to make that trip down there, or are you going to take a feed from Harrison?
Yeah, I think we're looking at a feed for Harrison Watt on that one. These are big points coming up over the weekend. And at this point in the season, right, I mean, you've got your schedules and you've got the boots on the ground reality of what you have to go do, the job that's in front of you. But at the same time, Bill, it's also a math game at this point, right? I mean, points are points. However you can get them, you need to get as many as you can to try to get home ice. And, you know, there's kind of two components within that even, right? I mean, you're not just jockeying for home ice position, that top four, but also you kind of still want to finish a little bit higher because that impacts who you might be playing. You know, do you want to play against a Northern Michigan or a Michigan Tech, or is there an Alabama Huntsville or a Ferris State in there, right? So, you know, these points matter coming down the stretch, even though everybody's qualified for the postseason already. You're not qualified for your position, and position could be everything in that first-round series.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Points mean, I mean, the Lakers, in my opinion, we got to get 9 out of these. We got to get 9 points here. We're going to have to win a game up at Bemidji, whether we like the idea or not. But, hey, if we're a good hockey team, we'll do that. And we got to take Ferris State down twice. There's no doubt about it. So let's get it started on Friday night.
Yeah, this league is chaos right now, isn't it? I mean, Ferris State taking Minnesota State down to the wire over the weekend. I mean, what a wild series that was, and who would have ever seen that one coming? Minnesota State needing overtime to put them away on Friday night. But, you know, that just shows you how much there is to play for in this season, right? Again, everybody's in, but everybody's trying to adjust for position, whether you're at the bottom of the standings or at the very tippy top, right? Everybody has so much to play for right now. And, you know, for Minnesota State, they want that home ice advantage in the semifinal and championship round. For everybody else, if Minnesota State slips up, you want to be in position to take advantage of that.
Well, the playoffs this year, that quarterfinal round will be 2 out of 3 at the home ice of the higher seed. So we want home ice. You got to be in the top
Definitely.
Four to get that. And then after that, the semifinals and the championship, it's single elimination at that point. And it'll probably be in Minnesota, in Mankato, Minnesota, unless there's a real big upset in the first round. So keep your eye on everything. Don't forget, we've got Laker hockey coming your way this weekend, Friday night against Ferris State, and then next Tuesday and Wednesday over at Bemidji, and then we'll finish out the season a week from Saturday at home at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Matt and I will be there for that one as Ferris State comes to town. And this show will be rebroadcast tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, and we'll also have it, it always gets uploaded, and you can listen to it at your leisure, too. And Matt, thanks for doing this. Good
Absolutely.
Job. It was
yep.
great having Mike Guggen in here, and Chase is always a good guest to have on. So another Laker hockey show, and we'll be back next week. No, we won't be back next week. That's the other thing we got to tell you. No show next week with the Lakers playing Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll be back in 2 weeks on a Tuesday, back to Friday or the 5 o'clock start on Tuesday in 2 weeks' time. That's the Laker hockey show on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400, WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader. Now let's get back to regular programming.